And while you're turning to Luke chapter 12, let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing on the message this morning. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we trust that as we open the scriptures tonight, this morning, that you will speak to our hearts and help us to understand the lesson you have for us. Teach us and instruct us through the workings of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that every heart and every life will be spoken to and affected by the preaching this morning, so that you can receive more glory and more honor from our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have a very simple message for you this morning, and it's this. Jesus is coming back, and you need to be ready. That's my message. Very simple. Jesus Christ came to planet Earth 2,000 years ago, and when he left, he promised he would come again. And today's scripture announces, ready or not, here he comes. And it's a serious call for us to prepare for eternity. And so if you've got your Bible open to Luke 12, go down to verse 35. We'll start reading there and read through verse 40. It says in verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, all Christians agree on the sequence. Let me say, not all Christians agree on the, I guess the word would be sequence, the sequence of the events of the second coming. Now, here's what I believe will happen. The next thing to happen on God's prophetic calendar will be the rapture of the church. Jesus will come back, and in the clouds, he will gather everybody, all Christians up to heaven with him. He will come in the twinkling of an eye, and all Christians will disappear to be with Christ. And then those that are not saved will be left behind. And there will be 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And then Christ will return at the Battle of Armageddon and defeat the Antichrist and his forces. And then Jesus will set up a literal 1,000-year kingdom on the earth based in Jerusalem. And after those 1,000 years, there will be the great white throne judgment as described in Revelation chapter 20. Now, you don't have to agree with me about that sequence of events. You can go ahead and be wrong if you want to. And I will still love you as a brother or sister in Christ. But if you deny that Jesus is coming again, that's where we part ways. That's where we part ways. But whether or not you believe in a pre-tribulational rapture and the sequence of events that I've just outlined, if you believe that Jesus is coming again, then you know that our main job is to be ready for his return. But unfortunately, people have always been more interested in trying to figure out when Jesus is going to return rather than being interested in being ready for his return. For example, in the 1980s, a NASA engineer by the name of Edgar Wisnant used his mathematical skills to determine that Jesus would return in 1988. He wrote a book entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Take Place in 1988. And then he sent that book free of charge to every preacher in the country. And he went so far as to say this. He said, if I'm wrong, then the scripture is mistaken. Ooh, that's pretty bold, don't you think? Well, guess what? He was wrong. And guess what else? The scriptures are not mistaken. There's nothing wrong with the scriptures. And then in 1992, Harold Camping wrote a book entitled simply 1994, in which he predicted Jesus would return in 1994. And then the next year, he wrote another book entitled Much More Evidence That 1994 Could Be the End of the World. But guess what? He was wrong, too. And who can forget all of the Y2K mania that went on, like the world was going to end when the clock struck midnight in the year 2000. And of course, just a few years ago, there was the prediction that on December 24th, 2012, that the world was going to end, that Christ was going to return then, because that's with the date when the Mayan calendar came to an end. But let me tell you what Jesus says about all of this. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so anytime you hear someone start setting a date, you know immediately that they are off track. They're off track. You see, the truth is, when it comes to the second coming, we're not on the scheduling team. We're on the welcoming team. Now, in our passage today, Jesus shares three mini parables that teach us the importance of being ready for his return. And we see, first of all, in this scripture, that we are to watch for the bridegroom. Watch for the bridegroom. Now, in Bible times, Jewish weddings were wonderful celebrations. After a period of betrothal, the groom would sneak into the bride's house and try to slip away with her without anybody seeing him. It almost became a game. And then he would take her back to his father's house for a celebration. And the wedding would include a great feast and much music and dancing and laughter. Our weddings today are really somber compared to a Jewish wedding back in Jesus' day. Now, as you know, in most of the New Testament, we Christians are seen as the bride of Christ, as the church. And Jesus is coming to sneak away with us one day and take us to his Father's house. He has said that he was going to prepare a place for us and he would return to take us to be with him. John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he said he's going to prepare a place for us and that he would return to take us to be with him like a bridegroom and bride. But in this particular parable, instead of us being pictured as the bride, we are pictured as playing the role of servants of the bride. And so as you think about it, ask yourself a couple of questions. Ask yourself this. Am I excited about Jesus' return? In this parable, the bridegroom has slipped away to get his bride, and we must wait for him to return to the house. We don't know when he's coming, so we must stay dressed up and keep our lamps burning so we can welcome him when he appears. For sure, the servants of the bridegroom would have been anxiously waiting and watching. They would be filled with a joyous anticipation. Well, is that the way you feel about the second coming? Are you excited about it? Or is it something that makes you afraid to think about? See, there really is going to be a wedding feast in heaven. And it will be an experience of joy and celebration. The Apostle John saw a glimpse of this future wedding celebration when he wrote in Revelation chapter 19. And so let me just read to you a passage from Revelation 19 about this subject. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. And it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now remember, that wife is us. We are the bride of Christ, the church. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So I want you to notice from that passage that it will be a time of rejoicing. It will be worth getting excited about. Now, do you happen to know, think about it in your mind, do you know what is the last recorded words of Jesus in the Bible? Well, those last recorded words are found in Revelation chapter 22. In verse 20, right at the end of the book of Revelation, it says, "He which testifieth these things saith," and now here's the last words of Jesus, "Surely I come quickly." That is, yes, I'm coming soon. But I want you to consider John's response to those words of Jesus there in that verse. John responds by saying, "Even so, come." Well, even before that, he says, "Amen." He says, "Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus." I wonder this morning, is that your attitude? Are you as excited as a servant at a wedding celebration as you wait the return of your bridegroom, of the master, of your friend? And this is important because your excitement level about the second coming will help you answer the next question. And it's this: am I ready for Jesus' return? Am I ready for Jesus' return? If you aren't very excited about the second coming, it may be that you aren't ready for him to return. You may think you are, but are you really? Let me give you an analogy that might help you understand. During some Monday nights in the fall, I turn on the television and I hear these wonderful words: "Are you ready for some football?" And I think to myself, yep, I'm ready. I've got my remote control. I got my Dr. Pepper. I got my popcorn. And I got my recliner. I am ready for football. But am I really ready? Now, I'm ready to watch football. But I am not ready to play of football. You see, watching and playing isn't the same thing. I used to play football, and I know the difference. Being an armchair quarterback is not the same thing as being a real quarterback. And you know what I've discovered about football? This is a good description of football. Football is a sport where 22 men who desperately need rest are on the field in front of 40,000 fans that desperately need exercise. That's pretty much football. And there's a big difference between being a spectator and a participant. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians today are basically Christian spectators. They just show up and watch the show. But here's the question: are they ready for the Lord's return? And here's my question for you. Are you ready for the Lord's return? You may be thinking, yeah, but if you're merely a spectator, you aren't ready. See, worship is not a spectator sport. There's a difference between an armchair Christian, or we might call them a pew chair Christian, and a real participant. And my next point this morning will help you know if you're really ready. And so, yes, first we're supposed to watch for the bridegroom. But the second thing that we're supposed to do is we're to work for the master. Work for the master. In this parable, Jesus speaks about the servants being dressed for service. As a servant, we don't work to earn our salvation. We work because we love our master. And so here's your next question. Am I actively serving the Lord? When Jesus returns, will he find you hard at work, or will he find you just being an armchair quarterback Christian? See, we need to clean up our Christian vocabulary. We've created a whole category of incorrect lingo about Christians. We tend to think that the only ministers are those who are on the paid staff of the church. But in the New Testament, the word minister means servant. And every Christian is to be a servant. Every member of our church should be a minister. And so the question is, are you actively ministering for the Lord? You know, most men laugh at the Ameritrade commercial on television where the lazy husband is reclining on the couch and his bossy wife tells him to do one thing that day: establish an online investment account. And he says, sure. And then he watches television and he goes to sleep. Well, he then hears her car pull into the driveway and he jumps up and he runs to his computer, and with a couple of clicks, he signs up. Then he rushes back to the couch just as she enters. Her first question is, did you set up that account? And his indignant reply is, of course I did. Of course I did. Well, you know, maybe you can wait for the last possible second to establish an online account, but you can't act that way with God. You can't wait for the last second and then suddenly jump into some ministry. Why? Because you won't hear Jesus pulling into the driveway. His return will be unexpected and in the twinkling of an eye. Now, Jesus is teaching that there are some wonderful benefits to serving him. Someone once said that serving the Lord doesn't pay much in this life, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. And that is absolutely true. But notice what Jesus says here back in Luke 12 in verse 43. He says, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That is, it'll be good for the servant that is actively serving the Lord when the Lord returns. And what'll be good about it? Well, back in verse 37, he says that he will dress as a servant, Jesus, and he will serve his servants. I believe he's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb that we read about in Revelation 19. It's exactly what Jesus did at the Last Supper, right? He took off his robe, put on the servant's towel, and went around washing the disciples' feet. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine the King of the universe serving you? But that's what Jesus said. He did say that right here in this passage. Now, here's another question for you this morning. Am I patiently waiting for my Lord? Am I patiently waiting for my Lord? Now, I have to admit to you that I am not very good at waiting. I will sit in the car and huff and puff and blow my horn until those kids are ready. I mean, if it's time to go, it's time to go. I'm not much good at waiting. And I will drive out of my way to to keep moving instead of waiting in a long line of cars. And our entire society doesn't like to wait. That's why we have fast food places. That's why we buy things with credit cards. It's because we don't like to wait until we have the cash to pay for it. We aren't very good waiters. And yet, in verse 38, Jesus said we need to keep on watching and waiting, even if the return of the master doesn't occur until the third or fourth watch in the night. Now, to understand that, you need to understand that the Romans divided the night into four watches of 3 hours each. And the third watch was from midnight to 3 a.m., and the fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the time most people are sleeping. That's when they least expect something to happen. And that's when Jesus will return. It's like that. He will come when we least expect it. And so the message is that we must wait patiently even when it seems as if his return has been delayed. Now, as I said, I'm no date setter. But I can tell you this. His coming is closer today than it's ever been before. And so we'd better wake up out of our spiritual slumber. Now, there have always been people who have laughed at the idea of Jesus' return. The second coming is rich material for the late night comedians. And that is nothing new. Let me read you a passage from over here in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says in this, in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And so to us, it may seem like 2,000 years since Jesus made his promise to return. But for the Lord, it just seems like a couple of days. God's sense of timing is so different than ours. And that's why we must wait patiently. And we must serve actively. And we must live expectantly. We must live each day as if he was going to return to planet Earth today. Because of the fact that it could be today. It could be today. And so we're to watch for the bridegroom. We're to work for the master. And then let me give you one last thing this morning. We are to warn our neighbors. We are to warn our neighbors. In verse 39, Jesus changes images. In the first image, Jesus is a loving master who returns and rewards his faithful servants. But in the second, he is a dreaded thief who comes and takes away what the homeowner treasures. And why this drastic difference? It's because to some, the return of Christ will be a blessed event that is to be joyously anticipated. But for others, the return of Christ will be a terrible, tragic event, like having your personal belongings that you treasure stolen from you. And what makes the difference? The answer is simple. A relationship. A relationship. Servants have a personal relationship with their master. But a homeowner has no relationship with a burglar. And so the question is, do you have a personal relationship with God through faith in Christ? That's how you establish that relationship. Galatians 3:25, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So do you have a personal relationship with God through faith in Christ? And if so, you won't fear his return. You'll be looking forward to it. Let me ask you this. Has anybody here ever been robbed? Have you ever been robbed? There's one. A few of us. Yep. I remember when I must have been about 10 or 11 years old. And we came home from church one Sunday, and our house had been broken into while we were at church. My dad's brand new stereo system was gone. Some of my mom's jewelry was gone. And I had a coin collection, and that coin collection was gone. But, you know, when that, whoever that was did that, they never caught the person. When that happened, those people that broke into our house stole something from me that was much more valuable than stuff. They stole my sense of security. And that made me mad. I remember as a 10 or 11-year-old boy, I thought that if I could have gotten my hands on whoever stole my coin collection, I probably would not have acted much like a Christian. And if, I know, you know, if you would have been, you know, if you would have known that somebody was breaking in your house, you would have probably done what we would have done if we'd known ahead of time. We would have been sitting there with the police waiting, right? That's what you would do if you knew they were coming to break into your house. But you know what? With thieves, they never do call you ahead of time and tell you they're breaking in, right? They don't call to make reservations like it's a restaurant, right? You don't know. Well, when Jesus comes back, that's how he is coming back when the rapture takes place. It will be a sudden and secretive thing, like a thief slipping into a home at night. And if you're not a true believer in Jesus, then Jesus will take away some precious people in your life, and you'll be left behind. Jesus said in Matthew 24, two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Jesus said we must stay prepared for his return because he will come as a thief in the night. And so ask yourself, am I telling others about Jesus? If you knew that a thief was targeting your neighborhood, you would talk to your neighbors and tell them to take precautions. Well, Jesus told us he would return like a thief in the night. And so we must lovingly warn our neighbors to take precautions and to be prepared for his appearance. The best thing that you can do for your friends and your family and your coworkers and your classmates and your neighbors is to tell them about Jesus and tell them that Jesus is coming back and we don't know when. I mean, if I knew that there was a time bomb set in this room and I didn't know when it would detonate, it would be my duty to warn you about it and tell you to take action immediately. Because if I knew about it and refused to warn you, then I would be guilty of causing your death. And the same principle applies to warning others about the judgment to come. I want to read to you something from the book of Ezekiel that deals with this subject. Just a few verses here from Ezekiel chapter 33. And it says this, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me." Now notice this. "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. See, Jesus is going to return, and it is our duty to warn people to prepare for it. So ask yourself, am I telling people about Jesus? And then let me give you this one last question this morning, and it's this. Could I face the Lord with confidence if he returned today? Now, you may think that all you need to do is be saved in order to be ready for the return of Christ, and that's the most important thing to do. But if you're here today and you're not serving the Lord, then you've got a real spiritual problem. You may be saved, but you got some real spiritual problems. In speaking to Christians about the return of Christ, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 28, "Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." When teenagers ask me, what behavior is acceptable on a date? My answer to them is always the same. Don't ever go anywhere or do anything that if Jesus came back at that moment, you'd be embarrassed about. That's always my advice to teenagers. But you know what? That's good advice for adults, too. For adults, too. If you knew for certain that Jesus was returning at noon tomorrow, what would you do differently between now and then? What sins would you confess and stop doing? What Christians would you go to and ask their forgiveness so you could be reconciled with them? What lost people would you seek out and tell them about Jesus? You see, that's the point of what Jesus is teaching here. Don't wait. Do it today. Live today as if it was your last day, because it could be your last day. And so are you looking for him? Are you longing for him? Are you watching? Are you working? Are you warning? Are you excited about his coming? Are you able to say with confidence the same thing that John said in Revelation 22:20? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the truth of your second coming. And Lord, help us to live every day in the light of your second coming. Help us to live understanding that any moment now we could hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the call to go home. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be excited. Help us to be actively serving you and warning others. And help us, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be. Help us in these last days, these dark days in which we live, help us to shine bright for you so that we are ready and won't be ashamed at your coming. And Lord, my prayer also is if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus personally in their heart, that this morning they'd come to know him, they'd open up their heart and receive him in to wash their sins away, to give them everlasting life, and to establish a personal relationship with you. Lord, don't let anybody leave here today, please, Lord, without being absolutely sure that they know Christ personally and that their sins are forgiven and they are on their way to heaven. Lord, don't let anybody leave without having 100% absolute assurance of those things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Roger's going to come and lead us in the little chorus, "For God So